670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
So if we are prisoners of the moment right now, I would say everybody's a little upset with the Texans over losing on Sunday, the way in which they lost, a lot of penalties. People disagree with the O-line shuffling. Nico Collins was hardly targeted. There's some things to be angry about. I think people are upset with the Astros, even though they're in first place. And some of this is not the Astros' fault. Like, they just, a lot of guys are injured. Maybe, who knows? Maybe some of that is the Astros' fault. That's for the medical staff and Jim Crane to determine. But I think it's safe to say, like, people right now are not feeling super confident about the Astros, even though they're in first place by a game, because of how things have been going hitting-wise all year and then over the last month, just in general. Since that sweep of the Dodgers, their record is well below 500.
Since that sweep of the Dodgers, yeah, it hasn't been the same. And that also, the fact that there's one thing that obviously the injuries have played a big part of it, but it's the runners in scoring position. It's just game after game after game where this team, which is somewhere around 25th since the All-Star break and runs scored, I'd rather they not hit at all than to have one of the highest ERAs in the league, but be amongst the lowest scorers.
Well, highest really batting average. You mean highest batting average?
Highest batting average. What did I say? ERA. Highest batting average.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd rather they just not hit than get all these guys on base.
Than to tease us.
Yeah.
They're teases, Sean.
They are. Yeah.
They're run teases.
They're buttoning their shirt right down to the middle of their sternum.
They are.
Spreading it out a little bit, showing a little cleavage, and then going, nope.
Altuve's got that the tattoo that may or may not be real. Kind of showing on his chest a little bit.
Right.
Like, oh, I want to see him come home. Maybe have his shirt ripped off or something.
Nope.
Somebody just bring him home.
No. Just stays on second base. And when he's not staying on second base, he's running into outs, sliding 5 feet short of the base, like he did last night. So the reason I bring this up,
on the season, just to be clear,
yeah.
Let's see, for where they are in the runs scored on the season. Why am I having to scroll so far?
I guess bottom third is what I would guess.
I didn't think they had gotten as bad. Yeah, they're 25th on the season. I said I was trying to be generous because I thought it was since, 25th on the season.
What are they in batting average? Are you able to sort on that real quick?
So runs scored, they're 25th.
Yep, that sounds
for
right.
The season.
Yes.
The stat must have been they're the second. Yeah, that's right. They're second worst since the All-Star break.
But
they're 25th on the season.
That too sounds right. Yep.
Batting average, don't worry, everybody. They're awesome. They're sixth. Sixth best team in the league in batting average.
Yeah.
That's got to be your grandpa is doing jumping jacks in his grave
right now.
Finds out that the Astros have the sixth highest batting average.
Yeah, this should make us all feel stupid for the last 100 years of anybody valuing batting average as a big thing. Sixth in batting average, and I would imagine that correlates to being like last or second to last in the league and batters with running and scoring position. You're sixth in batting average and 25th in runs. You ain't getting any important hits. So we're upset with the Astros. We're upset with the Texans. If we're prisoners of the moment, Seth, I was thinking about this yesterday. You know who the big winners are right now? The Houston Rockets. Everybody's upset with the Texans to start the season here, and you're upset with the Astros. I actually went and looked to see when training camp started for the Rockets yesterday. I'm like, well, if the Texans aren't going to satisfy me and the Astros aren't going to satisfy me, if they're going to put me through the ringer and continue to commit penalties and do silly things on the football field, they're not going to get hits with runners in scoring position, then by God, what's the first date that I can watch Kevin Durant play basketball? That's what I need to know. And that's the beauty of the city that we're in right now. When we got the two teams with high expectations not performing, we've got another one coming right down the pipe that has equally high expectations, if not higher expectations, because of the acquisition of Kevin Durant. So Rockets, the countdown, we are 20 days away from Rockets training camp. I just want everybody to know that. There's a chance for the Texans to turn things around on Monday Night Football. There's a chance for the Astros to go out and beat the Blue Jays the next two games, win this series, and put a little margin between them and the Mariners. But in the event that they don't, we've at least got Kevin Durant to save our world 20 days from now.
The Astros, by the way, are they have a 23rd best batting average with runners in scoring position.
That does not feel right. It feels like they should be 38th out of 30.
Yeah, I guess part of, I mean, but the disparity between being the sixth best batting average, but then being 23rd when with runners in scoring position is pretty stark.
Yep, no doubt, no doubt. Hey, did you see the, speaking of the Rockets, did you see the footage of Hakeem Olajuwon working out with Victor Wembanyama? Did that happen across your Twitter timeline?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, you know what, Hakeem? You did great things for Dwight Howard. Yeah, I admired all the touch he displayed after working with you. Yeah, sure, whatever. Now, when it comes to Hakeem, the talent developer,
yeah,
whatever.
Okay.
All right. Oh, was LeBron James a bad basketball player before he went to work with you? No. I just, good luck. Good luck, Wembanyama.
I am curious how Rocket fans feel about that. Like, if Hakeem Olajuwon, who still is very tied to the team, you know, sits courtside and things like that. You are, I don't know what Wemby is paying Hakeem to do this. Far be it for me to begrudge anybody for trying to go make a buck. I'm assuming that Hakeem is getting paid for this. If he's doing it pro bono, then I've got big problems with this.
No, I'm guessing when they come to work out with him at his facility, I bet he's got a daily rate of something.
Gotta be,
it's
right?
Probably a pretty good one.
Yeah. But it's up to him to say no to certain clients if he wants to discriminate against San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. Was he going to get sued by Victor Wembanyama?
It's interesting. I think, you know, there's just way more these days in sports in general of guys working out with other guys.
Too friendly. It's too friendly.
In the summer. Yeah. There is something about Hakeem being an old school guy, but that does, you know, have the side gig of making other non-Rockets players in the league better. I was joking, obviously, about criticizing Hakeem at all for anything, including, I mean, he has done some really good work with some NBA players in making their game better, including LeBron James. But I'm not comfortable with it. No.
I don't like it at all. This is the player that the luck of the ping pong balls landed him in San Antonio, in your division, in your very state, and he's supposed to be the next big thing. And we've got the guy who I would say is the biggest sports icon in Houston. I think it's Hakeem Olajuwon, it's Jose Altuve, and then there's a tier below that Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt and Earl Campbell and Nolan Ryan and other guys are in. I think Hakeem Olajuwon is the boss. I think Jose Altuve is the underboss or the consigliere. And if we were doing this FBI mob chart style, I think those are the top two kingpins of the Houston sports mafia world. And he's over there helping Victor Wembanyama out to make him better to potentially beat the Rockets and dominate the NBA. I don't need any of this. Hakeem, you can say no. You can say no to certain clients. Unless you're that hard up that you need to be educating everybody on the ins and outs of basketball, I do not need to see Hakeem Olajuwon working out with Victor Wembanyama.
Did you see that Pat Beverly said that he almost signed with the Rockets this offseason?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't.
He said he recently revealed via stream, I don't know who he is on with, that he's been continuously working out to get back to the NBA, and he's been working out with the Rockets. However, with Houston's cap situation, things haven't worked out. I was this close to signing for the Rockets. That's why I've been in Houston. I've been in Houston working out with the Rockets for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I was really close, but with the cap, they don't have a lot of space, which means they can't really guarantee.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 37 years old now.
He's hung around, man.
Yeah.
He's hung around a while.
He's not a 22-year-old right out of Russia.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
I've not watched a ton of Beverly over the last couple of years. They need some depth at the point guard position right now. I mean, they're really betting heavy on Reed Sheppard making a jump here in year two behind Fred VanVleet. Would you take Patrick Beverly back on the squad?
At the contract, it sounds like he didn't want to accept.
Yes. No, if he wants to do a veteran like the minimum Rockets, deal.
I'm like, okay, honestly, this makes me feel good about the Rockets. They weren't going to splurge for sentimentality's sake or anything.
No.
They just, they said, all right, we give you something that didn't have many of the guarantees that Beverly wanted, then there you go. Yeah.
Text message, is no one going to talk about Jalen Petrie and how he's the weakest part of our secondary?
Oh, okay. We've talked about him a good chunk, and maybe you weren't listening yesterday. We're talking about a lot. I think that was one of the things that people are upset with me about. There's limitations with Jalen Petrie doing what they ask him to do sometimes when he's manned up on guys like Puka Nacua. And I think that, for one, he wasn't on the field for every snap in that game, and I think that there's going to be times where they're going to have to be a little bit more selective in getting him replaced with an actual cornerback in those situations, mm-hmm. or maybe times when CJ Gardner-Johnson is coming up to be in the slot as opposed to Jalen Petrie. We've talked about it a whole bunch.
A lot,
so
yeah.
For however long you've been listening today, I guess we haven't, but it's not like he doesn't have a lot of positives. It's just that he's got some glaring negatives that are hard to disguise, and really smart quarterbacks like Matt Stafford understand and know when those situations are.
Yeah.
So how do you manage that part of it?
Game on the line, 3rd and 8. He knew exactly where 5 was.
Well, and even there, that's a matter of, man, everybody bit on the run. On 3rd and 8, it's 3rd and 8, and I think they're thinking, understandably, well, the Rams want to run the clock out.
Yes.
But it's not a given on 3rd and 8 that they're going to run no matter what, and everybody bit hard on the play action. That it wasn't like he would have had to been – he wouldn't have to be – one of the best cover corners in the league or anything to cover Puka Nacua for about 1 second as he worked his way toward the sideline if he hadn't bit so hard on the play.
Well, if any team was going to go unconventional and throw there instead of non-conservative there, the conservative thing would have been to hand the ball off, force the Texans to empty their timeouts. If any team was going to do it, it was going to be boy wonder play caller with experienced quarterback who has the ultimate chain mover as his wide receiver right there. Well,
the other part of that play, too, the play that sealed it for the Rams, was that Kalen Bullock bit real hard also. Yeah. And I think it still would have been tough for him to come out and prevent the first down, but he didn't even have a chance.
Nope.
Because he took about 3 or 4 steps in the other direction before he turned and would have been able to help out with Puka Nacua. So it was partly Jalen Petrie, but in general, the defensive backs in that game, they really got abused in play action.
Yeah.
Stafford was – I'm a little skeptical of this stat because the stat I saw was that Stafford was 9 for 10 on play action attempts.
I saw that,
I don't
too.
Trust the computer on that one because I think there was at least one more incompletion. But regardless, you remember the plays that they got burned on play action, the touchdown play.
Yep.
They were just – as D'Amico said after the game, they got to have better eye discipline in those moments.
Did you see CJ's numbers against the blitz and under pressure in that game?
Oh, yeah, it was like the best completion percentage over expected when pressured in his career.
Yeah.
Well, no, and that's, again, this is where some of the hiccups early on as CJ's getting used to the system were evident in that game, and that he still made some really, really, really impressive throws in that game. I think what he's going to continue to get better at is understanding, and especially if he has more time at the line of scrimmage, if everybody operates with a little bit more urgency, is how to dial up the easy throws. Mm-hmm. I think there were a couple opportunities where if he had diagnosed the blitz beforehand, he could have had some shots to even just over the middle, not deep shots to Nico Collins. Some of that, and that's to be expected. I'm not panicking over that because as I've told you guys for like 5 months, there's a lot of moving parts when you're having the quarterback do this. I don't care that he did it in high school. It's not the same damn thing. So it's going to take a little while. So I'm being patient with it. CJ still did do a lot of the really, really impressive things that show off his natural talent.
All right, there's a clear leader in the clubhouse 1 week in to the Payne and Pendergast head coach death pool between me and Seth. Who got the first head coach? Who picked the first head coach to be fired this season? I've got audio that says that I've got the 2 best candidates right now in my pool. We'll have that for you coming up next. I want to remind you that this is a huge effort here at Odyssey Houston today to get books in the hands of kids in low-income houses. 79% of Houston kids, low-income houses. 61% don't have books in their homes. A $30 donation to the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation gives one child in Houston their own home library. Six new books of their own. Text new books, that's N-E-W books, all one word, to 41444 today to donate and help us help Houston kids. All donations this morning are matched by Reliant up to $10,000.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.